we are big sharers. Learn what we've learned during the course of a week only on Podpourri, a magazine that will always be loaded only on the podcaster. Powered by Timber Media.
Hi there, folks. Welcome back to another episode of Podpourri, the podcast where we stir the pot and serve you sort of a hearty helping of various opinions. My name is Brian, and today we're diving into the electrifying world of two topics that generally people don't talk about together. That's music and politics. And with me, I have...
I'm Samita, your Bollywood-obsessed friend, maybe.
And I'm Avinash, your resident rock and roll rebel. So grab your headphones because we're going to be grooving through some lyrical revolutions and backstage showdowns.
You know, two things. I'm a musician, just like Avi here. I've never ever in my life put music and politics together. Now, music is a creative art form and we've sung, written about a lot of things. But these two things, no, I can't remember. So I probably have stuff to learn from you guys. So one of you, tell me, what do you want to
I completely agree with you. I've never really connected music and politics together myself either. But recently I came across someone who had a lot to say about music and politics. And, you know, just to appear well-informed in front of them, I did a little bit of research too. So I've learned that there's something called, or maybe they termed this term themselves, lyrical revolutionaries. Like, have you heard of it?
No, but I sort of have an idea what it means. But go on.
So, these are musicians who turn their lyrics into powerful instruments of political change. What do you say to that?
I mean, look, I have a different opinion. And, you know, artists have their own way of expressing. For me, it's... I don't know about changing opinion, but I guess any form of art can be used to express one's own thoughts and views.
I agree.
I don't know. I mean, for it to change something, it has to have extremely strong impact and a connection with the listeners, which is possible, but it cannot be forced.
Unless you're in bed with politicians.
I wouldn't know that either.
But can you...
Hey,
like...
but you know what? I call my wife home minister, so I guess it works.
But can you like come up with any examples or something of this? I can't really think of
any. So talking about people who have changed music, the scape of music and politics with their lyrics, the first example that comes to my mind, I think, would be Bob Dylan. If you remember this really old song called The Times They Are Changing, I very distinctly remember watching the video when I was a kid. You know, Bob Dylan standing in front of the camera and holding these lyric boards in his hand, papers, and throwing each one back behind him. That really made an impact because it forced you to actually read the lyrics and see, you know, what he's talking about. And then only later on did I come to know that he was talking about the civil rights movement of the 1960s. So it's funny how, you know, musicians can actually affect and create...
Dylan, I thought of someone else that just probably came up to my head. John Lennon and his iconic track Imagine, which, you know, not just encourage listeners to, you know, imagine a world without borders and conflict, but... also, you know, encouraged a lot of discussions on global peace and unity and, you know.
Exactly, yeah. It's like a musical hub, musical hug, you know.
From hey, but Lennon. Speaking of Imagine, like, imagine Yoko Ono singing that song.
Thank God she did.
I mean, I just thought of something funny. If Yoko starts singing that song, everybody's going to say, oh no.
Screeching.
I'm going to get shot for
screecher.
That. Anyway, moving on.
Let's also talk about how musicians can actually affect, you know, people who voters and how they can sway opinions of people. Can you think of a few examples that come to mind?
I mean, the most recent global sensation, of course, Taylor Swift and everything she's done. I mean, her shift from political silence to activism is something that definitely needs to be talked about. I mean, you know, her decision to just endorse candidates and speak on so many political issues has sparked debates about, you know, responsibilities of celebrities and, you know, influencers on social media and all.
Oh, you know what and, I've heard?
Yeah.
I heard she's planning to endorse Gavin Newsom, presidential candidate.
Wow, see, everybody. So that's, it's nice to see that it's a shift from love story to political story. What do you have to say to that?
Oh, I don't think you're going to like my opinion. See, I always find it fishy when there is like a sudden shift in direction of artists towards anything like politics. But from what I've seen in history, people have a different agenda behind it.
I sort of agree with that, actually, because so let's imagine you're a Obama supporter and you figure out your favorite musical artist is supporting Trump. Mm. What do you do? Yeah. Would you like toss your favorite musical artist, or would you still stick to your Obama? And you know, what is more important, music or politics? I think it comes down to that.
Well, the human mind is very complex. You never know what goes on in someone's head. But if you look at things from a practical perspective, I mean, if you admire someone for their ability as a musician or an artist, an actor, a sportsperson or whatever, that should be it. I mean, their political inclination has nothing to do with the art. Right?
Makes sense. Anyway. This, I think, reminds me of Bruce Springsteen, also known as The Boss and Kid Rock, since you brought up Barack Obama and Donald Trump, you know, and they're, who, you know, throwing around their weight behind their respective sides.
Yeah,
Barack Obama.
Kid Rock's been pretty vocal about his support for Trump. It's like mixing oil and water, you know, in the music world.
You know what? I suddenly had a thought. A lot of politicians and celebrities, etc., they go for these big musical events. Yeah. I wonder if there's any, you know, sort of controversy that happens when they meet backstage or at, you know, after parties or whatever stuff. You know, I always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you guys know of?
There is actually. Again, this is back in the day when Frank Sinatra was huge. And he was also really good, really close friends with the Kennedy family.
Yeah.
So a lot of underhand dealings and, you know, stuff like the influence, each one helping the other to get votes and to get popularity. In a way, it was kind of like, you know, the Rat Pack meets the Oval Office.
Yeah. And then we also have, you know, songs that are very rebellious in nature, you know, some that have very outrightly and directly criticized politicians and their policies. I mean, of course, we have Johnny Cash's Man in Black, where he uses his music to voice his dissent against the Vietnam War and the treatment of, you know, all the marginalized communities and groups of people.
And rap, that's too... Those are two things I'd never imagined to put in the same sentence. I mean, you associate mosh pits and stuff with metal. Speaking of the heavier forms of music, there are plenty of examples of rebellious music and lyrics. And again, so like you think of bands like System of a Down, like Aussie Warpigs. You have a lot of songs by Tool. I mean, and those are very serious writing. I have seen some of the most impactful lyrics and content in metal, and you know, of course, there's a lot of them are actually noise who scream.
Like my dad says, it sounds like plates clanging against each other.
Yeah, makes sense. Metal plate. So.
Oh no.
Generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction.
Yeah, but yeah, quite interesting actually. What I think is, if something is powerful and true and of positive intent, it's going to have a strong impact. It will move the minds of people. Best example, We Are the World. Yeah. Heal the World.
Definitely.
I mean, songs like these are extremely positive and they did have a huge impact. Earth Song.
Yeah.
Earth Song. Michael Jackson had a lot of songs which made a lot of impact. So I guess it can be used, but like in anything, it can be used for good and bad. I mean, the atomic bomb or atomic energy wasn't actually invented to create bombs. But we all know what happened, right? So, hey, you know, I just had a thought. We've spoken about a lot of music from the West. What about Bollywood specifically? Since, you know, you said you're sort of a self-professed Bollywood buff. I don't know much about it, but from what I've experienced, I am sure there are lots.
There is. I mean, the music industry in Bollywood for decades has, you know, seen its own share of musicians, lyricists, songwriters, registering their strong opinion on so many issues, the political climate of the country or, you know, just societal issues and so many other things. Be it Sahir Ludhianvi's scathing songwriting in Pyasa. It was a 1957
movie.
And Fir Subah Hogi in 1958, or even the most recent Gully Boy, which had this famous Azadi song. The politics of protest has found place in Hindi film songs. I can tell you that for sure. I mean, let's take a few examples. There's this movie called Kismat. Have either of you watched it? Way back in 1943.
I'll let you know in 5
you'll
minutes.
You'll let me know in 5 minutes? Okay. I'll
I'm
just
not
go
that
on
old,
then. So there was this song called Dur Hato E Dunya Walo Hindustan Hamara Hai. So this was one instance where protest and patriotism were merged together in one number. And the song was written by lyricist Kavi Pradeep and was directed towards the British, even though he very cleverly masked his protest using this line, Tum na kisi ke aage jhukna, German ho ya Japani.
Wow.
How clever.
How patriotic.
Yeah, I mean, this was definitely one instance, but there are so many other examples too. I mean, in the movie Aaj Aur Kal in 1963, we have this song called Takht Na Hoga, Taj Na Hoga, which some sources say could be the opening lines of which the AAP launched itself. So this song was by Sahir Ludhianvi, and it's considered to be the voice of the common man asserting his rights. It's a brutal takedown of crony capitalism, but it's definitely a song for the marginalized and the oppressed to come forward and just take what's theirs.
I'm sure the movie made a lot of money, but...
Maybe, definitely. I mean, like
lot
you said...
Capital.
Lot of capital. No, I mean, speaking of this, there's something that I've always wondered about, and just tell me what you think about it. What I've learned is that songwriters don't really write in silos, do they?
I've never written in one. Have you, Brian?
I have written in silence, that's all I can say. Silo, I know I mentioned atomic bomb, but wow, this is like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, what I learned was that when the right situation arrives, they will definitely deliver what is expected of them.
I guess they thought that if they write in silos, they'll shoot into fame.
Oh God.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. The 1983 movie Andha Kanoon, the song Ye Andha Kanoon, sung by Kishore Kumar, does just that.
Can you sing a few lines from that?
No, I think I will prefer not to.
I like how quickly
anyone's.
The response came. No.
She should be the rock and roll rebel.
No, no, I think I'll prefer not to bleed anyone's ears out. But yeah, that's definitely something to think about. I mean, if we do have time. I mean, we also have Rang De Basanti's song, Khoon Chala. That's more 2000s. Mm-hmm. So something, have you all listened to it?
Oh yes, that I have.
Images of cops beating peaceful protesters at India Gate in this song, it almost brings like some sort of a deja vu feel where recent events in the past few years pertaining to so many amendments made by the current government have seen similar violence too.
Well, yes. I mean, violence has been there as long as we can remember.
It's profitable.
Yeah. That's that, another topic. That's again. Great. So, yeah. Oh yeah, you know what? We're actually making a list of topics right now. It's just like advantages. Nice. So, well, I think that was quite informative. Honestly, I didn't think I'd leave this with things to think about. Like I mentioned, I'm much into connecting politics to anything really. The last, least of all, music. But I'm sure our audiences have a lot to think about.
Exactly. Yeah. It is, yeah, politics and musicians do make strange bedfellows, you know. Yeah. And while it's kind of interesting to see how they kind of come together, I don't think it's going to be a merger of sorts.
Well, that's about time for us now. I wonder how much the audience has been thinking and listening. Oh, you know what? I wonder how many people actually pulled out their phones, went to Google and typed Yoko Ono singing. Imagine.
Oh,
wow. That would be a very painful evening. But thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back with a lot more interesting topics, and I'm sure there'll be more fun conversations. Some of them would be, you know, controversial,
exactly,
to say the least. This is Brian signing out.
And this is Samita. Catch you later.
Thanks, guys. It's been really fun. I'm Avinash. See you later, guys. Rock on.
Right. Okay. Before we leave, there's one important thing.
Don't forget to hit that follow button and join us next time for another episode of
Potpourri.
Potpourri. Slightly delayed musician.
Use a lot of delay. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
We are big sharers. Learn what we've learned during the course of a week only on Potpourri, a magazine that will always be loaded only on the podcaster. Powered by Timber Media.